This is the shiur for Tuesday. We shall be learning in Mitzvah Hashem Siman Ayin, the first few Se'ifim. This Siman includes some of the most important halachas with regards to Kriyas Shema, including the obligation of women and the obligation of children with regards to Kriyas Shema. Miheim ha'pturim mekriyas shma, who are the people who are chayv and potu, obligated and exempt of kriyas shma? Shulchan Aruch, Seif Aleph. Noshim, women, ve'avodim and slaves, evet knanim. Pturim are exempt mekriyas shma, from reciting shma, mipnei because shehim mitzvas asei, Shazman Gromer, it is a positive mitzvah which is time bound. We learned in many places, the halacha, that women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs because any positive mitzvah which is time bound, women are exempt. This is learned from a posuk in Gemara in Kiddushin, and it's famously explained by the early Rishonim that anything which is time bound is difficult for the women to fulfill. They have got the obligation and the duty to see to the well-being of the entire house, including the children. And you can't tell a crying child, a crying baby, now hold on a minute, I'm saying Shema, the well-being and the atmosphere in the house is the most important part of the Yiddish house. And the children have to be seen to, and therefore it only makes sense naturally that women are exempt from anything which are time bound, because the top priority is the well-being of the family. Consequently, Kriyas Shema, which is time bound, women are also exempt. It's a mitzvah shazman gromer. It is only by day and not by night. Therefore, women are exempt. Nevertheless, because of its extreme importance, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, "V'nochon hu, it is correct lelamdom to teach them sheikablu aleim oil malchus shemaim. They should accept upon them the oil malchus shemaim. They should accept on them the kingdom of the Ribbono Shel Olam by reciting the first pasuk of Shema. At the very least, it is proper. It is right. It is correct. It's good practice." But it's not a real obligation as far as Shulchan Aruch is concerned. And the Ramah adds to that, Ve'yikru lefochois posugishin, and very much in line with that, the Ramah adds, they should, at the very least, say the very first posuk of Shema. Mishnah Berurah here goes into the general obligation of women, of women's tefillah. And he says the following, first of all, in Sifkot Na'alef Peturim, Afilum and Rabbonon, women are exempt. Even with the Rabbonon, and Avodim, that even with the Rabbonon exempt, it's not that Medereisa they are exempt and Medrabonon there is an obligation. No, they are exempt both Medereisa and Medrabonon. Sifkoten based Mishnah Berurah goes into the very important discussion, Halacha Lemaisa, with regards to the obligation of women. He goes into detail and he says the following. Not only they are exempt from Birkas from Shema, but they're also exempt from Birkas Kriyashma. This is also time bound and time fixed. However, the bracha after Shema of Emes V'yatziv, which is established on Zechiras Mitzrayim, as we mentioned earlier, the Emes V'yatziv is referring to the, he's talking in great detail about the mitzvah remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that as well as v'chein habrochas shel achrei ha'arvus, also the brochas after Kriyas Shema in Maariv, mechuyoveis la'omrom, they are obligated to say the mitzvahs zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim nuheges b'yoyim uvalaylo. The mitzvah remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim applies both by day and by night. So the Mishnah Berurah is mechadash that although you may have thought that they are exempt from Kriyas Shema altogether and there is no obligation on their part whatsoever to say Shema and its brachas, says the Mishnah Berurah, this is all in regards to mitzvah of Kriyas Shema, which is truly time-bound. However, there is the additional obligation of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. That, says the Mishnah at this stage, and that the women are also obligated. So, although they may have a limited obligation to Shema, but certainly when it comes to Mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that applies both by day and by night, and women are obligated to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So according to that, it would come out that they don't have to say Shema, but they have to say Emes V'Yatzev. Alternatively, we've spoken earlier that there's alternative ways of fulfilling that remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But either way, they have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim both by day and by night. Mishnah Berurah then continues and discusses some very relevant and important halachas regarding the tefillah of Noshim generally. Before we do so, let me share with you couple of points. Whenever I have the opportunity of giving shurim to women on tefillah, I always share the following 2 points. Firstly, we need to remember that one of the most famous and most powerful tefillahs ever was actually said by a woman. We all know tefillahs Chana, that she was a lady that was not to have children, and she was really desperate to have children, and despite all the difficulties, she davened to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and she begged the Ribbono Shel Olam to give her Zera Noshim, and in desperation she davened with all her heart, and this tefillah broke all the mechitzas, as the broke all any mamash. She managed to in her utter despair to have a child. This tefillah Chana is the symbol of real genuine tefillah out of desperation, real genuine tefillah that the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to. And although she was not to have children, but the Ribbono Shel Olam listened to her tefillah. So it's one of the most prime example what tefillah can actually do. Not so famously, the Gemara does say, the Midrashim bring down, that she was actually, Rashi in Sefer Shmuel also quotes this, that she actually had later more children. She had many more children after that, but the source of her, it's a great source of inspiration to realize she was a lady that was not meant to have children. The only reason why she did deserve children was in Koach of her tefillah. So that's very important to remember. Now, the other point is a story which I was zeichet to hear myself from Reb Gamliel Halevi Rabinovitz, Choshev Mashpia in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, who told me the following. And Gamliel told me that there was a Yid who was a bocher, and he lived in Yerushalayim, was learning in Yeshiva, Al HaTorah Ve'al HaAvoda, he was learning in Yerushalayim, and he was, and unfortunately, Nebuch, he was diagnosed with Yenamachle at a very young age, and he didn't know what to do, and he was obviously in a very, very difficult situation. He shared this with the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, who in turn, he decided that this would be a very difficult news to, don't break those news to your mother, because she herself wasn't a young lady, and it would be very difficult for her to cope with it. And therefore he underwent all the necessary treatments and medications as necessary, but they completely kept quiet of the mother. The mother never knew anything about this. When I don't know what stage, but it was a very long and a very difficult illness that he had. And at one point, it leaked out to the mother. And the mother found out about this. And with great tears, the mother said to the Rosh Yeshiva, "How could you not have told me about this? How could you not have told me about this?" And the Rosh Yeshiva said, "We wanted to spare you from this difficult news." And then she said, "But I'm the mother, I'm entitled to know it." And they went to a din Torah about this. I don't know exactly if you can call it a din Torah, but he went to her because the discussion was very, very uncomfortable, and she claimed that I'm entitled to know the well-being of my son. Or Shiva said, "I wanted to spare you of this difficult news." And they went to a Gadol Beis Yisrael, and unfortunately I've forgotten who this Gadol Beis Yisrael was. And his Gadol Beis Yisrael then gave right to the mother. And she said, "You should know that there's nothing You should have definitely told the mother about this. And the reason for that is that the tefillahs of a mother, tears of a mother, are stronger than anything else. And whilst you thought you are helping the child by not telling the mother about this, on the contrary, there's no doubt about it, that tefillahs of a mother with tears in her eyes could have helped the child to a large extent, because tefillahs of a mother are more powerful than anything else. And this, of course, reinforcing the idea that women, of course, women are potter to a large extent many parts of the tefillah, but the power of tefillah of women is very, very, very extreme, and one mustn't forget that. Having said all this, let us see what the Mishnah Berurah adds at this point. So we've learned that the women are exempt from Kriyas Shema, but it is nochen that they should be mekabel al Malchus Shemaim, which, by the way, only takes literally a couple of seconds. And the Mishnah Berurah then continues, and he speaks about the Kriyas Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let us see inside what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. The Mishnah Berurah discusses here the obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, whether it's the Yaisim or the Rabbanon, whether it is time bound or not. He goes into various stodim, which we shall not see inside. But he does say that lechur women have an obligation, and then he says the following. Upsuke de Zimra, second white line. Upsuke de Zimra, with regards to Psuke de Zimra, Eile al Simon und Beis, Chidushe Rebbe Kveiger, Temuchach Shom Midvorov, der Eike Niskenu Beshwil Tfila, Im Kein Mimele Chayovois. The Psuke de Zimra is part of Tfila, and just as much as women are obligated to Tfila, then similarly also they have some obligation of Psuke de Zimra. For in Birkes Ashacha, and with regards to Tfila Sashacha, Birkes Ashacha, Lichoyer Tolu Ze, Im Neime, With regards to Birkas HaShachar, it depends as to whether they are time bound or not, and it leaves you with the Tzorich Iyun. Mestimas Loshon Tur Shulchanoch Basim Mem Zayin, Mem Vav, Bepat Malavush, Mashman Debrochas HaShachar Kmei Anoshim. It could very well be that they are obligated like men. Ulam Kol Zeh Kosamdil In Chiyuv Al Pshita Yecholis Lamshe Chiyuv Al Atzmon. It is all an equal obligation, but certainly they have the right of. They might not have an absolute duty, but certainly they have the right to make brochas. And they certainly have a right. So in other words, just to recap, we learned that Shema is they have don't have an obligation, but it is proper that women should be mekabel on themselves Malchus Shemaim. Tefillah, let's just reiterate this point, tefillah, they have an obligation to daven, not the tefillah the way we have got it, but they have an obligation to daven some, and zechiras yetzias mitzrayim, they have an obligation to be maskir yetzias mitzrayim, and brochas, they also have an obligation. Just to point out as well, interesting point, when I taught or teach the Mishnah in brochas, telling us that women are obligated to are not obligated to say Shema, which is the Mishnah in Brochas. I teach that to young children in year 3. They are not obligated to say Kiyas Shema. But the Mishnah does say there that Shemoneh Esrei women, or Tefillah in general, women are obligated. And then ask the children, the boys, why is that? Why are mummies obligated? Why are women obligated to daven? And then it's every year the same, but the boys will answer that because they have to daven for us, mothers have to daven for us, for our well-being. So it's self-understood for and this is mamash what the Gemara says, Rachmaninu, the Gemara does say that there is an obligation because everybody is to daven Ribbono Shel Olam for Rachamim, for mercy. And this is even obvious for a young child. So again, Kriyas Shema, there's no obligation, but it is Nochoin, Shemekabal Achmos Shemaim, Tefillah, although the text where we have got it, the Shemoneh Esrei, we have this no obligation, but to say some tefillah, some asking from Ribbono Shel Olam, that is an obligation. We said Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is an obligation as well, and Brochas is also probably to have some degree of obligation, and And certainly, even if there's no obligation, they're allowed to daven more than what they are absolutely obligated. So this is regards to Noshim. The Shulchan Aruch now continues. Noshim v'avodim pturim mikriyat shema b'nei mitzvah shema gov. Yeah, so continues the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Beis. That's also very interesting. Ktanim pturim l'rabbeinu tam. What about children? Are children obligated or are children exempt from kriyat shema? So Shulchan Aruch says the following. Ktanim, young children, pturim are exempt l'rabbeinu tam, according to Rabbeinu tam. K'shiloi higiyach l'chinuch. Rabbeinu Tam says, depends if they are higiyo l'chinuch or not. Just like we find in other areas of halacha, that children are exempt as long as they have not reached the age of chinuch. Similarly here also, as long as they have not reached the age of chinuch, they are exempt. Once they reach the age of chinuch, they will be obligated to say Shema. What exactly is the age of chinuch? It depends, obviously, on the cleverness of the child, on his maturity, on his development, maybe 6, maybe 8, something on those lines. But Rashi, he disagrees. Rashi says, even if he reaches the age of chinuch, he's still exempt. Mipnei, because she'einu imotzu it etzloi, he's not near his father. Bizman at the time, kiyashma of kiyashma, bo'erev in the evening, v'yoshein hu baboike, and he still sleeps in the morning. So Rashi has a different approach altogether. Rashi says, no, it is unlike any other areas of halacha that if he reaches the age of chinuch, he is chayev, before he reaches the age of potur. Here is a slight different because Shema has got a very specific time and a slightly unsocial time for the, as far as children is concerned, it's a difficult time. Fathers say Shema early in the morning and late by night. At some parts of the year, in some places of the world, for sure. And therefore you cannot expect of a child to be up davening 6:30 in the morning, and you certainly can't expect the child to be davening Maariv by Nacht in the summer. Consequently, there is, even if he's potentially higiyah lechinuch, but with regards to mitzvahs kiyas shema, children are exempt according to Rashi. Halach lemaisa says the Shulchan Aruch v'roi linoik k'rabbeinu tam. It is proper to be noyik like Rabbeinu Tam. It is right. It is proper to pass like Rabbeinu Tam. That once they reach the age of chinuch, they should say Shema. I do not know, and I wonder if anybody's got an opinion on this. Our contemporary school system. I don't exactly know based on what I work. I tried to do some research. I was unsuccessful. Exactly how a chinuch, how does it work exactly? I mean, how do we pasken? We all say in most schools until about year 5, year 6, we daven in school. Now, which opinions are we trying to? If we go according to the opinion that once they reach the age of chinuch, if we go according to Rabbeinu Tam, that once they reach the age of chinuch, they're obligated to say Shema. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, one should try to be makpid on that. Then, lichoira, it's a bit hard to understand. Because, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, certainly this should be with the brachas, and it should also be with it at the right time. So if we go according to the opinion that once they reach the age of chinuch, they have to say Shema, so how do we do that nowadays in our schools? Because first of all, they don't necessarily say all the Birkas Shema. Okay, let's assume they do, but they don't. But certainly, they don't say it Bizman. I mean, in some months of the year, Sof Zman Kriyas Shema is long before 9:30. Let's assume they finish davening by 9:30. Often Shema Sof Zman Kriyas Shema is long before that for many months of the year. So it appears that the school system does not cater for Rashi, and I believe this is in most schools like that, most Chadorim and schools like that, and I'm not sure if we really do fulfill opinion of Rashi. Now, if you say that we don't go according to Rashi, which one should really go according to Rashi, according to Shulchan Aruch, but if we don't go according to Rashi, that means that we go according to Rabbeinu Tam, but that itself also needs a bit of understanding, because then there's no real obligation at all. Does that mean that really, if you want to be makbid, you should send the kids to school and tell them before they go to school to say Shema? Never heard of such a thing. So I'm not quite sure actually which opinion our school system caters for, and I wonder if anybody's got any suggestion on that. I've been trying to locate any interesting source on that, and I wasn't able to find. Interestingly, Mishnah Berurah points out over here that all this is again, we all know that the first thing one teaches a child is, as soon as a child knows how to speak, we teach them Torah, Tzivah, and emotion. We teach them to say Shema from the youngest age. I mean, from three-year-old or four-year-old children, they know how to say Shema. And we teach them once they go to, you know, as soon as they are able, they recite Shema when they go to bed, or even in kindergarten, they say Shema already. So we know that there's an obligation, that this comes a real, I don't know if the word chinuch is the right word. It's not halachically chinuch, but it's the way we are mechanach our kinderlich. And this is not contradicting this over here, because this is not real, it's not a daily obligation, it's a routine thing that we do. It's not with the rigidness of actual saying Shema. It's just as the Mishnah points out in Sif Kotten Zayin, Shaloi Gyalichon, Mikol Mokin Posuk, Yeshin Shabakiya Shema, Mitzal, Ovi, Lamda, Mishadeh, Ledabes, says Mishnah in Sif Kotten Zayin. There's an additional obligation of teaching the children, as soon as they can talk, there's an obligation to teach the children to say Shema. Lav Dafke Bizman Kiyah Shema, and this is not in the Zman of Kiyah Shema. Stam, a Yiddish Kinderlach, a Yiddish boy needs to say Shema, and a Yiddish boy and girl needs to say Shema. And this is, as soon as they can talk, they say Shema. This is not part of the obligation of saying mitzvahs kiyas shema in the morning and the evening. This is an additional point which is not really related to mitzvahs kiyas shema. Right. Okay. This is safe base, and it really does remain a bit of an enigma and a bit of a mystery how our school systems work according to that. And if anybody's got any suggestions, please share it with us. Okay. Seif Gimel. Hakoines, somebody who marries Esa Besula, a girl, was not married before, Potu Mikiyah Shema, he's exempt from Kiyah Shema, Shloisha Yomim, 3 days, Im Lo Yosa Maisa, if he didn't do a Maisa. So, say he got married on a Sunday, so for 3 days, he's exempt from Kiyah Shema, if he didn't do a Maisa. If he wasn't better. Mipneishu torut ter das mitzvah, because he's torut, he keeps thinking about his color, and he keeps thinking about the meiser, and he's completely not able to focus on Shema, he won't be able to be mekabel omach shemaim properly. Avahana mila, this is bizman harishonim. This is only in the earlier generations. Aval akshav, but nowadays, shigam shabne odom, that also other people, Einom mechavneim koroi, don't have proper kavona. Nowadays, anybody, it's got quite a weak concentration when they say Shema. Therefore, the chosn is no different than anybody else. Nobody's really concentrating. He's no worse than anybody else. Just because he's getting married, his lack of concentration is not worse than anybody else. Therefore, gama konesa besula koire, also, somebody just getting married, he should also say Shema. The remote adds that halachas later discussed with regards to a person who drank a little bit too much wine. The Mishnah Berurah adds in Sif Kotten Yudalet that it's not only a right that he's allowed to say Shema nowadays, that nobody's got real kavana. It doesn't mean that he's allowed to, but on the contrary, what he means is, if Kotnu Dalat, he's obligated to say Shema, with its brachas, kadin, properly, and he should also say Shema in Esther, the Kivan Shechai B'Kiyah Shema, since he's obligated in saying Shema, Chayev is also obligated B'Tfilah to daven. And not only that, V'meinoi Koye, and if he doesn't read Shema, Mech Sekure, he looks like he's a very, very special person. He pretends that he's on a very holy level, because Shemare, he shows Shemechav Mecholcho. If a chosn does not say Shema, that means that I'm not saying Shema because I'm I'm just getting married. But the rest of the time, I've got very, very elevated kavana. So he wants to, he's showing off that he's on a very high level. That's no good. You're not allowed to do that. Therefore, he's not allowed to show off, and he has to say Shema. By the way, even in earlier generations, somebody's getting married to a besula, then he is not, he doesn't say Shema. The Mishnah Berurah makes the obvious diuk that this is only with regards to Kohenis Besula. If it's an almana, then of course the halach will be different, even in earlier generations. Right. Okay, so just to recap what we covered today, we learned Noshim Vavodim Pturim Mikriyas Shema because it is a mitzvah Shizman Groma. So we learned about women are exempt from Kriyas Shema because it's time bound, but it is proper for them to still say Shema. We learned that they have an obligation to say, so to remember Zechiyas Yetz Mitzrayim, which is an obligation for them like anybody else. They have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe the Reise, maybe the Rabbonon, but according to Mishnah Berurah, women have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim on a day-to-day basis. We then learned also that with regards to Tefillah, they have to say some Tefillah. It doesn't have to be Shmoyna Eseh per se, but they have to say some Tefillah. We learned also that Brochus, women are obligated to say the Brekas HaShachar, and we also learned that they don't have to, but they are allowed to daven more. There's no shaila at all if they want to daven more. We spoke then about ketanim, young children. Young children is a machlokes as to whether once they reach the age of chinuch, as to whether they're obligated to say Shema. According to Rabbeinu Tam, when they reach the age of chinuch, they have to say Shema, according to Rashi, because it's difficult for them. They don't have to say Shema even when they reach Chinuch. They're not near their father. They don't have to say Shema with their father because it's difficult hours of the day. By the way, just as a little footnote, I forgot to mention that earlier, that from here to see the way Chinuch works, Chinuch really is from father to son level. You can't just ask your son, you know, say Shema, and it doesn't work that way. You have to be on top of it. You have to ensure that it really happens. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you are in shul and your son is not in shul, you can't expect, that's not called chinuch. If you are saying Shema and he's not near you, that's not called chinuch. You have to really, really be on top of it. By the way, so with regards to the Shulchan Aruch paskens, it is proper to pasken like Rabbeinu Tam. We then went on to Siv Gimel, which teaches us that somebody who marries a besula is part of Kiyas Shema for 3 days, if he didn't do a ma'aseh, because his Torah tilled the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch does say, however, this is only in the Zman of the Rishonim, in the earlier generations. Nowadays, that anybody, you know, any way people don't have kavona, this halacha does not apply, and even a chosn should also recite Shema, and the Mishnah Berurah says he must do so, and it looks as a Yehuda, as if it's a Baal Gaiva, if he doesn't say Shema, and he must say Shema with the brachas like everybody else.